So very much good songs to sing, and although we don't confer about a song to be sung and everything, you didn't have any idea that I'd be using the words of this song, The Lily of the Valley, this morning. I'd like for you to turn in the textual studies today to Ephesians chapter 1, and our lesson study today is in regard to the theme of God's predestination for us. He has predestinated those who come into Christ, and you'll see that very clearly here in Ephesians chapter 1. So many of our religious friends and neighbors around our way have adopted the idea of coming into Christ as being something that is a non-unnecessary thing, that we find ourselves being touched by God, His predestination hand upon us, and we can't resist it. We've got to come into God because of that. But the truth of the matter is, it's about our obeying the gospel. Look as we read here in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, that is, wisdom and earthly wisdom as we go through life, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according as his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in all in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You'll notice that this situation is a situation that occurred in heavenly places, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. That we're blessed with the spiritual blessings that are found in heavenly places in Christ. And that verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself. The fact of the matter is that when we came to know Christ and came to be informed of his will and came to be obedient to Christ, we entered that predestinated area where God wanted to bless our lives, our spiritual lives. Notice that there's a greater difference between Ephesians 1 and verse 3, the spiritual blessings in Christ, and the physical blessings of life that Jesus talked about in Matthew 6 and 34. When he talked about this particular thing, he talked about how that we have our ways of life and we live them, and how that we find ourselves blessed of God with the things of this earthly life, food, clothes, and shelter and the like. And he tells us that that's the case with us if we faithfully serve the cause of God. If we're faithfully serving the cause of God, we find ourselves faithfully going to those things that are true and honest and of good report and worthy of praise. And we thank God that we're able to do that. Instead of living a life that is fearful of everything being said about us that shows that we've told lies and falsehoods. Instead of living a way of life that says that we've lived in such a way that when others learn about those things, we know that we have entered into sin and remained there for quite some time, and that we're kidding them as we claim to live for the Lord when we come to church services and worship services like this. The idea is that we're faithful people to God. And because we're faithful people to God, he has added blessings to our lives that will come our way if we find ourselves seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, he says, will happen unto you. In Matthew 6 at 33. Well, back up in verse 24, he talks about the kind of things that they were talking about. And the kind of things of food, clothes, and shelter that they would receive as a result of seeking first the kingdom of God. God intended the eternity itself, that people find their spiritual blessings in Christ. And as a result of coming into Christ, those spiritual blessings are realized in a predetermined way. He planned already ahead of time that that predestination occurred. In verse number 11, in whom also, that is in Christ also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things, and after the purpose of his counsel, and after the purpose of his own will. It is the case that we find ourselves pleased of God when we honor where Christ has come into our hearts and lives and become a part of our daily walk of life. That's why we would be people who would find ourselves in the church of our Lord, always glorifying him, as he mentions here in Ephesians chapter 3. And in reference to this matter, he says that we're to do that throughout all ages, world without end. We're to glorify God in the church. We're to be people who find ourselves glorifying the worship of God, glorifying the songs that are sung, glorifying the place of the Lord's Supper in our lives, glorifying the gift that we give by our hearts and by joy that we have to give. We find ourselves rejoicing in the presentation of God's Word. We rejoice not only as preachers but as members of the church when we hear the Word of God presented and the presentation of God's Word presented. Let me ask you this. If it is the case that in the understanding of predestination, the view is that God predestinated individuals and that individuals have a tap on the shoulder, so to speak, by God to go into the relationship with him. What does he say in the closing verses of Ephesians chapter 1 that really says that didn't happen that way? Look what he says here in Ephesians 1 and verses 13 and 14. In whom also ye trusted, ye trusted in Christ, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. What these people do, they listen to the word of God. Tap on their shoulder? No. They listen to the word of God. An entrance into their minds and their hearts where God took just control. He had predestinated that person. He did not predestinate this other person. So the other person is standing there saying, what's happened to you? What's this about you? What's going on with you? It could go on with everyone that would hear and trust in him, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom ye also believed, after that ye believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We find in the book of Acts chapter 2, when they had this hearing of God's word, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter replies to them in Acts 2 and in verse 38, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When did they receive this Holy Spirit? After they believed, after they repented, after they were baptized for the remission of their sins, for the forgiveness of their sins. That's why the importance of that is named in the scripture. That's why we preach those particular verses and cite that. And there are those who criticize. They think that baptism is itself a work of man. And it's not a work of man, any more than faith is a work of man. In John 6 and verse 29, Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. It's the work of whom? The work of God. We believe in the work of God. And the work of God commands us to repent and to confess. We find ourselves in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If a man shall believe in his heart and confess with his mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. Salvation comes as a result of obeying the calls of the Lord in every precept that he says. And in that precept that he says faith and confession, repentance of sins, and baptism into Christ brings the remission of sins in these two verses of Romans 10, 9 and 10, and Acts 2 and verse 38. Called here in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, a blessing that occurs in Christ Jesus, because all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Therefore we can, as we see in Ephesians 3 and 21 and following, glorify God throughout all ages, world without end, in the church. Notice he says in the church, not sometimes in and sometimes out, not most of the time out of the church and never in, but in the church, in the body of Christ, in the relationship we have with him, we glorify God and we find that blessing to be from him in our lives. Have you ever read that particular section of verses and that ideas that we find of blessing of God? He says in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 3 and down at verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. When I find myself in this life of living in Christ, I want to be a person always of prayer. I want to make requests unto God. We made requests this morning for the helping and continue to help those that are in times of illness and those times of sickness. We pray for those in mission work and the teaching of the Word of God, far and wide as well as near. We praise God for these great blessings that He's offered through Christ Jesus. We thank Him for the real joy that we have of meeting together in this service today in the church. We find ourselves worshiping God in this way. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It'll be beyond what we ask about a certain individual or a certain situation to everyone and everybody as we pray about the sick and the needy. Through the power that worketh in us. What is that power that worketh in us? It works within us because we look at our funds that we have and our donations that we make, not as our own, but as a blessing that we can give to God, as a joy we can give to the Lord, as a work to be done here and throughout the world, it is prayed. When we find ourselves doing those kind of things, God is able to cause it to abundantly enrich the lives of people throughout the world, as well as here locally. Let's be people in this predestinated way who find ourselves enjoying this relationship with the Lord in the church and in the ways of God. And let's find ourselves doing that whenever the church gathers together. Let's not just limit ourselves to a Sunday morning. Let's not just limit ourselves to a Bible class time. Not just limit ourselves to a worship service. But all the events that are ongoing. The events that are going on in a spiritual way in which it tells us of spiritual meanings and spiritual ways of life. And whether it's here or in other places, we mentioned about gospel meetings in other localities. Sometimes we have family and friends that live in a certain place and we like to go visit there to renew acquaintance with them once again. No harm that I know of in that, but it's also beyond that. It's beyond to a place that we have not a family friend or family relative. God's word is being proclaimed. The teaching is being done. Brethren are living there. And we're encouraging them to be faithful to the Lord. You know what it's been like to visit in other places. And as you drive along the way, you find a congregational meeting house and you go to visit there. Can you just go in and sit on the back row and just ease out and nobody ever says anything to you? There are a few places like that, I understand, these days, but in most of the times of the other times, you couldn't get out before people wanted to see you, visit with you, shake your hand, learn who you are, where you're from, and your trip, and everything about your life. And thank you for coming and visiting with them today. Glorify God in the church throughout all ages, world without end. That's what those predestined for the Lord's will and the Lord's way. And notice what he says regarding eternity itself as we finish up with Ephesians chapter 1 in this once again, verses 13 and 14. Which is the inheritance, earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Who is the purchased possession? Well, we are the purchased possession. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. We have a wonderful spiritual blessing when we come into Christ. It's a predestined blessing that came from God in direction toward that. And as a result, we live in that way. We invite others to come and be a part of such worship occasions. We invite others to become a part of such gospel meetings and Bible lectureships and programs like that. In order to see and to hear and to open their Bible and read for themselves what God's Word actually says on a subject. As a result of that, they can be people who serve the cause of God and not the cause of one another. I close this lesson today with that song, The Lily of the Valley. It opens up with that song saying, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to rule. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. When we sing this song, we're singing the refrains of Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Because in this that God has planned, we find ourselves rejoicing in the spiritual blessings that He grants to us. And when we find ourselves in times of sorrow, He is our comfort. In times of trouble, He is our stay. He is our foundation on which we find ourselves standing. He is the way of life because He cares about me in every way. Verse 2 says, "Oh, He all my griefs have taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation He's my strong and mighty tower." I find myself calling upon Him in times of temptation. I find myself calling upon Him as we go through that way of temptation in life. There are temptations to say things we ought not to say, to do deeds we ought not to do, to plan things that we ought not to plan, to be people who are ruthless and wicked in our ways of dealing with money and time and people and places and their circumstances of life. But I don't have to do that. I can be a person who lives in that way. He says in verse 3, "He will never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do His blessed will." Am I going to forget to put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and have all these things added unto me? From Matthew 6:33. Am I going to forget about calling upon Him in prayer and looking forward to the abundant blessings that He gives above and beyond what's asked or thought? Of Ephesians 3:21. Am I going to be a person who finds myself not really enjoying it? Or am I going to then sweeping up to glory to see His blessed face where rivers of delight shall ever roll? He'll always be the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The spiritual blessings that are in Christ are the spiritual blessings that we'd like for everyone to have. And how do we find them? We come into Christ. In Romans chapter 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were buried with Him by baptism into His death were raised to walk in newness of life? That's what happened. Buried with Him. If you've done that in days gone by and not lived that way though, not lived that joy, not lived that predestined life in which He says spiritually, live for the Lord and be faithful in His way. Well, today, why not come back to Him? That's what Simon did in Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 20, when he wanted to buy the power of the apostleship with money. Simon Peter said, "Thy money perish with thee. Thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thy heart is not right with God." Do I need to go back and be rebaptized into Christ? No, you're already in Christ. This is worse for you because you're in Christ and you're not realizing the spiritual blessings that are there. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you. Simon did something that some of us would not do, have not yet done. Simon said, "Pray you to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've sowed may come upon me." That's the way of life that he talked about as this predestined person serving the cause of God, coming back to His way, doing the right thing. Whether you need to come into Christ today and begin that new way of life or be restored to that way of life in repentance and prayer, we stand ready to be of help to you today in every way. Won't you come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing together? forget this evening as we come together for singing time and also come together for our potluck time tonight. Look forward to having each one of you part of that and enjoy that to the fullest. What will we come about? What will be the last lesson in this series of textual studies? We started out with the nature of God. We started out with the need of mankind. We got down to this idea of the predestined plow of God. What would you think would be the next lesson? The textual study of heaven, the home of the soul. Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we'll close out with heaven itself, the home of the soul. Thank you for listening and following along in the Bible with me as we study these textual studies. We'll move on to some topical things as we get on into October. But thank you so very much for studying with us. And I hope you've benefited from the knowledge of this information from God's Word.
Turn to number 723.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of Thank you.